Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayemi Maseches Chulin Daf Tzadi. Hey, we begin on Tzadi Dalad Amud Beis on the very last line with a story. Yahut HaBocha. There was this Jewish butcher, this kosher butcher. The Amr of the Chavre turns to his friend, who wasn't really his friend, he wasn't really very fond of him, and he says to him, we turn to the next page, Ihavos Paisus Minai, if only you were friendly with me, if only we were not enemies, Miloi Safiloch, wouldn't I have offered you Mishershal Patan, some meat of the fattened ox, the Avdi Esma, which I shechted yesterday. If only we were closer to each other, then you would have gotten good stuff from me. I pity you that you're not on my side. Amrleis, the other fellow, responded in kind. He says, I think I need your favors. Amrleis says, Achli, Mishufri Shufri, what are you talking? Yesterday I had the best. I ate the best of the best. I don't need your favors. Amrleis, the butcher, turns to him and says, how in the world did you get it? Menolach, I'm the butcher in town. Amrleis, he says, what do you mean? I got it from the guy who bought kosher meat and gave it to me. Amrleis, the Zarman Pliny, Oivet Kecham, this and this, you know, guy purchased that high quality meat, Vesafali, and he fed it to me, he gave it to me. Amrleis, so the butcher turns to the fellow, he says, Tzrei Avdi, I'm the butcher, I know what's going on, I'm the sheikh. I shechted two animals yesterday. One turned out to be kosher and successful, and the other one was discovered to be a treifa. Unlucky you, you ended up with treifa meat. Tzrei Avdi, I made two yesterday, Vahu treifa hava, that was a treifa. So do we believe him or not? Amr Rebbe, Rebbe says like this, Bishvil Shaita Zeh, just because a silly person, this foolish man, went ahead and transferred non-kosher meat to a guy without notifying the market, without telling the customers. This was in a place where they had the notification system. He failed to do so. So he transferred unkosher meat from his joint and did not inform the customers because he did some silly thing like that. And just because of that, we're going to go forbid and question all the material sitting amongst all the meat merchants and have concern that perhaps there's other problems. All the meat sellers out there. Rashi says, Roiv Tabachi Yisrael. We know Roiv of the butchers, Roiv of the Sheikh Tama Yisrael. We're not going to concern ourselves just because this fellow made a mistake. And the Gemara concludes that Rebbe, in fact, Rebbe Latamei, Rebbe here is consistent with his own position, which was stated elsewhere. The Amai tells us like this, Makulin v'tabochei Yisrael. So you have Makulin, which are these meat merchants, even though they're perhaps goyim, but v'tabochei Yisrael, if the tabochem, the origin of the meat is from Yisrael, so the Yidna, the Shoichtim, they're the ones that supply the material. So then you can buy even from the Goyim, because you know it's kosher meat. Basar hanimtza biyadav gichavim, the basar that's found in the hands of the Goyim, are okay, amuta, because they are kosher material. Ika de Amri, there's another version of how Rebbe responded to this episode with these two warring parties. Ikad Amri, Amar Rebbe says, "Mipnei Shoyta Zeh, di chavin letzu'urei lechavrei." We're not even going to believe this fellow, just because he was trying to, silly man, is trying to harass his friend and scare him off and tell him about the non-kosher meat. We're not going to believe him. Anu ne'asar kolam akulim. Because of that, we should forbid all the material out in the market. Sakti Gemara, ta'imu di chavin letzu'urei lechavrei. Apparently, it's only because we know that he had an agenda, trying to, tease his friend. That's why we don't believe him. Halav hachi, but otherwise, if it wasn't based on any agenda, we just happened to discover that he had unkosher meat that he was uncareful with in terms of transferring it to the goyim. Also, in that case, you really can't purchase any meat from the merchants today because maybe there's trouble in town. Just like he wasn't careful here, maybe he passed it on to others, maybe there's other... Says the Gemara about Tani, but we have a brice that Rebbe actually states otherwise. Rebbe Omer, Makula Nevetabachi Yisrael, the Tabachim, the actual manufacturers are the Israelims, even if the Makula are the Goyim, Basar and Imtsevi Adet Gechav Mutar, even the meat found amongst the Goyim is okay because you know where it comes from. And here we're saying it's not good, says the Gemara. Yeah, here it's different because here we have an established fact that there was unkosher meat out in the market. Shani Hach, here it's different. There's chazek, there's a chazaka. It's been established that there's isura in town, and he wasn't careful. And just as he wasn't careful selling it to this guy, perhaps he sold other parts to other guy. So today we got to be careful and refrain. Amar Rav. Here comes a very well-known halacha in the name of Rav. Basar. You have meat, kosher meat, but it was left unattended, unsupervised. You never know. Maybe a raven came along, a bird came along, switched the meat, dropped a non-kosher meat instead. Amarav basar kiven shinis alim and ayin asar. So once the basar left the eye, meaning it was unattended, unsupervised, it's asar. Meisvei, here comes a kasha, back to that halacha in the name of Rebbe that we just quoted twice today. Meisvei, Rebbe Omer, makulin, you have these butcher stores, these meat markets, run by Goyim, v'tabachi Yisrael, but you know they get their meat from the Yisrael, basar nimtza b'yad oivet kechav mezmutar. So you have a plain cut of meat sitting in the store, it's okay. What do you mean? It's unsupervised. Maybe somebody switched it with an avela. Well, no, here's not sitting out in the open. Nimtza b'yad oivet kechav mezmutar. Well, it's sitting in the hands of a guy. He's the merchant. He's the guy selling it. So that's called mecheskas ha-mishtamer, says Rashi. So, you know, guy, if he's watching, it's okay, as long as it wasn't sitting out, which would trigger a chashash, a concern that perhaps birds came and creatures came and switched the meat. Toshmai comes another kasha on Rab, who says, Basar shen is alam and ayin is asr, unattended meat is asr. We have a kasha from a well-known halacha. Teisha chanuyis, right, the halacha of the 9 stores. You have a town with 10 stores. 9 are selling kosher meat, and 1... non-kosher meat. Teisha chanuyos. Kulon moichreis basar shchuta. 9 stores selling kosher meat. Ve'achas moichreis basar nevela. 10th one selling carcass, unkosher meat. Ve'lokach me'achas men. Now this fellow knows, he certainly walked into a store and purchased meat, but he can't recall which one it was. Was it the kosher store or the unkosher store? Ve'eni yodei, I can't recall me'eze men lokach, which store did he buy the meat from? Sveike also, because of this uncertainty, you can't have the meat. Ubenimtza, but if he finds it in the street... So now, 9 out of 10 chances that it came from a kosher source, halecha acharei, you can follow the majority factor, which in this case is kosher. As opposed to when you buy from a store, you can't follow roi, because that's called kavua. The store with the isra supply is established in its place, it's set in its place. It's not like you found a piece of meat in the street and you have to figure out where it came from. We're dealing with the actual store itself. You connect it to the store, you just don't know which store it was. So in this case, even though 9 stores are kosher stores, you can't sort of combine them into one equation as each store sort of a factor in the equation, because they don't connect. Each one is a set, established, independent entity on its own. So you don't have that collective equation where 9 out of 10 are kosher. Rather, it's a question of you interacting with one establishment. You don't know which one it was. Was it kosher or unkosher? It's like a 50-50 chance, and you have to go to Chumrah and be strict and not eat the meat. But in any case, let's dwell on the second part of the halacha, which is that if you find it in the street, then it's just a question of, okay, where did it come from? From there. Since you didn't really act with these stores, you're just focusing on the piece of meat, which could have come from anywhere. Question is on the actual meat. Is it kosher or non-kosher? So most likely it's kosher, and you can eat it. Yeah, it's true, it came from a kosher store, but once it's sitting outside, it's called nis alem mina'ayin. Anything could have happened. It could have been swapped. It could have been switched. Hachanami here as well. But nimtza b'yadav kicham, we're talking that it was found in the hands of a guy. It wasn't just left unattended. You have a guy in the street walking with a piece of meat. So there's no issue of nis alem mina'ayin. Toshma, here comes another kasha. Motza b'basra. So again, we have a Mishnah relating to a city with a mixed city, some Yidden residents, some Goyim residents, and you walk down the street, you find a piece of meat on the street. So if it's a raw piece of meat, halechacha roiv mitabachim. Again, you reckon, you know, the majority factor. If it's mostly Jewish meat in town, most butchers are Jew, then it's okay. If you're mevushel, but now if the meat has been processed, been cooked, that triggers another concern of bishul akam. Women are consume meat cooked by a guy. So here you have to look at the, take a census and look at the you know, number of residents. Halechacha roiv echle basri. Look at most of the you know, meat eaters in town. Basically, if there are more goyim in town that would eat meat, then you have to assume that it was cooked by a goy. You can't eat it. Okay, but let's say it's uncooked, and most meat in town is kosher. You can eat it. It's unattended. Nesalim in ayin. It's a kashar rab. Forbids unattended meat. Perhaps you'll say, perhaps in this case as well, it wasn't just left on the street. Goy is handling it. It's in the hands of a person, so it's not considered unattended. Well, then what do you have to do guesswork? So if it's cooked meat, you have to reckon the percentage of people who eat meat. Well, who's holding it? If the guy is holding it, we'll assume he cooked it. Right? Let's take a look. Is the guy holding it? We assume he cooked it. Right? If the guy is nakatli, then it says, then we assume he cooked it. The answer is like this. Currently, nobody's holding it. It's sitting on the street. But it's not considered unsupervised because the finder actually noticed the person dropping it from a distance, and he couldn't identify him, whether he's a eater or a guy. So here you have to work with percentages. But there's no issue of this element of I'm, because ultimately it was constant supervision from a distance. Toshma. Here comes another raya, Kashan Rab, who says, Nis alim and ayin is asr nintzabak vulin. So this is a Mishnah Mesach HaShkolim. If you find chunks of meat out in the, you know, the cities outside Yerushalayim, outside Dina Beis HaMikdash, Evarim Neveilois. So you find, you know, large blocks of meat, chunks of the animal. We assume it's just a carcass, which is typically just chopped up like that, you know, to be thrown out. Chatichos Motoris, if they're proper cuts of meat, then they're okay. We assume that it's kosher meat, it was shechted and prepared properly for you know, regular consumption. And again, we're talking about meat in the street, unsupervised. How could you? The Chitema perhaps will suggest, like we said before, Chanami Rezobo, I mean, Vareo was speaking that somebody was watching all the time and he's noticed this person dropping it. Okay, so why does the Mishnah say Ivarim Neveilois? That if they're large, supersized, you know, parts of the animal, then you assume it's just a Nevela. Well, you saw a person holding it. It wasn't being thrown out anywhere. He was holding it, he was handling it. Let's assume it was edible kosher meat. Right? You just throw it away. Fine, so you assume it's an Nevela. But a person, you saw a person holding it and he just accidentally dropped it, why would you say it's an Nevela? Says the Gemara, am I, right? So why? Is it so? Answers the Gemara, you're right. We're not speaking that anybody was, you know, there was no constant supervision. You just happened to walk by and notice these things on the street. Midi hu time elul rav. Isn't this whole discussion relating to Rav? Right? The whole point of our discussion of bringing this kasha was because of Rav's halacha, right? The truth is, we're not speaking that there was constant supervision. And you're right. Rav actually explained on this Mishnah. Rav says, you can't eat it. Rav Amar Mutaris Mishum Nevela, that the chatichais, you know, the regular cuts of meat, which assumingly were prepared for consumption, could not be eaten. It's mutter, yeah, to a certain extent. It's not an avela, meaning a person eats it, it doesn't get malchus. If you touch it, you don't become tummy, because after all, as she said, it's a suffix, you don't know. As opposed to the evarim, large chunks are assumed to be certainly an avela. Small cuts, not. But not that you can eat it, because after all, it was in the salam and the ayin, you'll never know. But Levi Amar Mataris Ba'achid, Levi disagrees. He says, even if it was left unattended, he disagrees with Rav's halacha. He says, Basar Shem Salam and Ayin, you can eat it, and that's what the Mishnah means. Small cuts of meat could be even eaten. Now, this whole concept of Rav, quoting Rav, right? Basar Shem Salam and Ayin is Asr. Was it an outright statement from Rav, or was it merely inferred from a story? Says the Gemara the second way. V'had Rav, this halacha, the name of Rav, was Lav Beferish Itma, wasn't explicitly stated. Ela Mechlal Itma was derived from a story which, you know, could be perhaps interpreted differently. We'll see. Mechlal Itma. The Rav Haba Yosef Amabra. What was the story? Rav was sitting alongside the near the river crossing of the Ishtatis, this river called Ishtatis. Chaziel, Gavri, sees this person coming by. Davaka Machaver, we turned down the base, he was rinsing Resha, the head of the animal, in the water. Nafal Manet slips out of his hands. He quickly runs to get a net, some sort of basket to retrieve his lost item. Ozal. Nafal Resha Manet, yep. Ozal. Icy Siltus, he went to grab a basket, and he came back, and he shod, tossed it into the water, and guess what? He got a bonus. Asik Train, he found two heads. Amarab's Rabbi was sitting and observing, says, Avdi Nami Hachi, is this the way usually happens? You drop one, you get two? That second one must have been unkosher. I mean, so you don't know which one's what. Asrinu Niyala, you can't have any of that. Maybe these are actually new ones that are both Asr. We don't know, right? So he forbade them on him. Amri le Rav Kahana, Rav Asi. So Rav Kahana, Rav Asi turned to Rav. The Rav, he says, why are you making it asa? Is that so? That only forbidden materials are around, or are commonly found? The heter le shchichi. You can't say that it was heter. I mean, who says heter are not found? Amri le, he says, the surah shchichi tfei. His fact is, you know, in the world at large, you know, anybody could have dropped it, right? So in the world at large, most meat is not kosher. Okay, in any case, we see that Rav took a strict approach because it was left unsupervised. You don't know what's what. Says the Gemara, okay, so that seems to be a pretty bona fide, you know, source for Rav's Shita. Why are we sort of questioning the source now? V'chi mechlole itmar. It's just because it was implied. Why would you question it? And why would you, you know? Similarly, Rav, in fact, holds that it has to be constantly under supervision. Says the Gemara, no, perhaps here there was another element involved. Another factor, to make it also parvasa. Parvasa means like a port. The Oivdikah of Mavoy was a port of Goyim, so the local populace here were Goyim, so it's mostly Goyish material. And that's why I considered it Asr. But who says anytime you have meat sitting in your house? Says the Gemara, Teda, I'll even prove to you that in fact it was mostly populated by Goyim. The Ka'amalu, because remember Rab responds to them, he says, the Yisurah Shechit Fei, because Isr material is more commonly found. Apparently, it was a pretty established factor. In this place, there was more Isser. Okay, in any case, the Gemara does stick to its original version, that Rav, in fact, instructs us to constantly have the meat under supervision. Ela Rav hechi achal bistra b'shat. So how does Rav actually have meat? I mean, it's almost impossible, right, to have meat constantly under supervision. B'shaite. Yeah. He was meticulous to have his meat only... He would take the meat only after, right after the shechita, the loy alam enemine, without diverting his eyes from it. It had constant, you know, hashgacha tamidus. Iboy same. Another way he can be sure about the kashrus of his meat. But sairo, it was tied up a chasuma and stamped, so it had had certification on it, that C.O.R. hechsher. Vinami, another way, but simanov, there was some sort of identifying. Configurations on the actual meat itself, which was a identifying mark, and he knew this is the original kosher piece of meat. No flipping. He heard the Rabbi Bar Afuna, as Rabbi Afuna would do, mechatech le'atlas karnas. He would do that. He would shape his cuts of meat with three corners, like a hamatash, in a triangle form. Okay, Rav Havakozel Abir Rav Chanan. There was another story with Rav that relates to this halacha. Rav was traveling to his Chasni, his son-in-law, who was Rav Chanan. Chazi Mamra de Goslape. As he approaches the river crossing, he sees there's a ferry coming towards him without even ordering it. He didn't have to order the Uber. Suddenly it's standing right there, coming towards him. Amar, he says, oh, that's a good sign. It's going to be, we're going to have a good trip. We're going to have a good time by the son-in-law. It's going to go well. Amar, he says, Mamra de Goslape. Oh, there's the ferry coming across towards me. Ah, good day at the host, at the destination. It's going to be a good trip. Okay, what happened? Ozel, he went come above him. So he's standing at the doorway. He got to the house. He's standing at the doorway. Oidik, so he peeked in, bebizet dasha, into the crack of the, the doorway. Chazi chiyusa de talia. And he notices this shechter, animal hanging there, ready for the feast. Taraf above, he knocked on the door. Ah! Oh! distinguished guest, Rav, everybody comes out to greet him. Nafak, also everybody came out, also Kuliyam Lapay to greet him. Also Tabachinami. So even the chefs came out, the house emptied out, everybody came to greet him. Now Rav had his mind on to keep the meat kosher. Loy Alim Rav Eini Mini. Rav made sure not to divert his eyes from that meat, to keep a close eye on it, because he knew they were counting on it for the meal. But they neglected to keep an eye on it. Amar Lu, so afterwards he told his people there, Eichu, look, Hashta, look now. Had you just kept on going, Safis Lu Isura, you would have served forbidden material to the children of my daughter, to my family, Vnei Barati. Loy Achal Rav Mawur Bistra. So Rav criticized them for being less than meticulous, less than careful in terms of Ashgach on the meat. And in fact, Rav refrained from eating the meat. Lo yachal Rav Mawur Bistra. Says to him, why? After all, he did keep an eye on it. My timer. Ima shumei lumi. Is it because it was unsupervised? It wasn't. He didn't divert his eyes from it. He was observing it all the time. Eladon nachash. The reason why he refrained from the meat is because he did something which is called nachash, nichush, divination, which one is not allowed to do. One is not allowed to say, well, if this and this happens, it's going to be a good day, it's going to be a bad day. It's called nichush, tapping into unadvised spirits, which is not allowed according to Torah. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Why is that called a nachash? Nachash is only when you really rely on it. You sort of set it as a condition. If this happens, I go. Right? Otherwise, I don't go. Right? Vama Rab, Rab himself tells us, it's called nachash. Any nachash activity, she'enoi keliyezer evad Avram, which is not similar to the sign that was set forth by Eliezer when he was sent by Avram, find a shidduch for Yitzchak. He says, okay, if this person comes and offers to feed my camels, she'll be his match, otherwise not. It was a pretty established set, absolute system that he had established. That's called nachash. Or uchiyenesam in shol, yenesam, when he was considering battling with the plishtim. So again, he sets forth some sort of condition. If they say it like this, then that will show their weakness, it will go. Otherwise, we stay. So if it's not an absolute nachash, which he's actually relying on beforehand, in a nachash, that doesn't really count as nachash. So in this case, Rav didn't go that far. He just said, oh, good day is happening. Look, it's going well. The ferry is coming. So that's not called nachash. Rather, the reason why he refrained from eating is because it was not a proper meal. Sudas or reshus, arbitrary meal. Rashi says like this, based on the Gemara Psachim, it's Ubas Talmud Chacham getting married to Ma'aretz. She has no business marrying a Ma'aretz. It's called a downgrade for her. It's considered dropping down, an affront to her yichus. So one should not partake in this celebration. That was going on there. Interestingly, the Tosfos and other Rishonim ask, fine, so the Gemara draws that line between Rav's, sort of indicator. It wasn't really a nichush, it was an indicator. Oh, look, it's going well. Versus Eliezer of Avram and Yenisim Eshol, who actually established a true nachash, which we shouldn't do. So how did they do it? How were they allowed to do it? So the Ron says a very interesting thing. He says, in order for a nachash to be forbidden, it is required to have two elements, two factors. One is absoluteness, right? Set as a condition that he's relying on. If this happens, I do it. Otherwise, I don't. Plus, he says it has to be something which is not really rooted in logic. It's not a rational thing, right? If the stick falls down, that means it's going to be a bad day. That's divinity. That's called divination. That's called nachash, which is asur. However, Eliezer Eved Avram, he knew that he was tasked with finding an appropriate shidduch for Yitzchak, one with good midos, good personality, good character traits. So this would be an expression of good midos. Benevolence, generosity, kindness, chesed, right? Very logical, makes perfect sense. So even though he relied on it 100%, it was a siman that would make it or break it, but it was something that pertained to the matter at hand. The same thing with Yonas Min Shaul. If the Plishtim show weakness in the way they express themselves, okay, that's a good sign, then we go attack them, otherwise we stay here. It makes perfect sense. It was relevant to the matter at hand. So he says two factors at play. It has to be something absolute that you're relying on, and it has to be illogical. That's an issue of Nachash. But in the case of Rav, neither concern was present because he wasn't setting it forth as a condition for his trip. He just said, oh, it's going well. Hashem is leading me. Gevaldik. It's going to be a good, successful trip. And in the cases of Eliezer and Yonasan Min Shaul, even though it was set down as an absolute sort of condition, but it made perfect sense. It was relevant to the matter at hand, and therefore there's no issue of Nichosh. Interesting. Interesting formula from the Rav. In fact, we see in the next Gemara, Rav, Badek B'Mavra. Rav would actually check based on the ferry. Rav says, Rashi explains, Im Mezumenes Le'Ozel. If he comes to the river and the ferry is waiting, it's okay. It's time to go. Otherwise, Im Koshi Moitzev, if it comes with difficulty, Lazi wouldn't take the trip. He would take it as an omen from Hashem that it's not meant for today. Again, it makes sense, because he wasn't sure, he had factors, pro and con, and he sees the way Hashem leads it. Hashem, Hashem sort of encouraging him, making it, smoother, so that means it's a good thing. If it's turning out to be difficult, and it's something which, to begin with, he wasn't really sure if it was right. Meaning, if a person's absolutely sure this is the right thing to do, then don't be deterred by difficulty and challenge, just the opposite. It's an opportunity to develop and to grow and to overcome and to persevere. But we're talking where, it's sort of a toss-up, and now he sees that apparently it's not what Hashem wants him to do because it's not going. That's perfectly acceptable. Shmuel Badek V'Safra. Shmuel had a different system of determining. He would open a sefer and see what pasuk he encounters. If it was a pasuk, what message he would see in the pasuk. Rabbi Echon Badek B'Yinuki had a different system. He would ask the kid, okay, tell me something from the what you learned today in yeshiva. Which pasuk did you learn? And he would use that as a message. In fact, Kulishnei the Rav. Throughout Rav's entire lifetime, he lived in Babel, right? Havakasav Rabbi Yechon. Yechon would send him, correspondence. He would open by saying, Lakadaim, in honor, right? Lachavoy, Rabbeinu Shababel, our teacher in Babel. He would regard Rav as his, as a teacher. Kinoch Nafshid, when Rav passed away and Shmuel took over, so Shmuel was his, he considered him as his equal, his colleague. Havakasav Shmuel, when he would send correspondence to Shmuel, he would say, Lakadaim, Chavareinu Shababel, in honor of our colleague in Babel, without giving him the title Rav. Amar. So Shmuel responded, Lo yadali midi, is there nothing that I know the Rabbi Anna more than him that would consider me his Rabbi? So he tried, he made an attempt. Kasav, so he wrote him a letter. Shadalai sent him, Ibura, the Shitin Shni. He calculated 60 years worth of, the calendar system of the years, of the Ibur. He figured, okay, this might changes, perspective. Amar, so Rabbi Yechon wasn't impressed. He says, okay, he's a good mathematician. Amar, Ashta Chushban Abama. Yad, okay, he's good. He's good in calculations, but that doesn't make him, Kos of Shadlai Shmuel attempted again. He sent him Tleser Gamli. Sfeiki Trefosa. A whole long letter of all kinds of uncertainties regarding Hilchas Trefos. 13 camelfuls of these questions. Rashi, Tosfos says, Agirsa Gvile, 13 scrolls, 13 letters, basically an impressive amount of discussion regarding Trefus. Amar, so now Rabbi Yechon was impressed. Psh, I'm a Isli Rabbi Bavel. I have a master, Rabbi in Bavel. He's really greater than me. Ezel Ex, I want to go see him. Amar Leili Nuka, so before he embarked on his journey, he turned to the kid and he says, "Psukli psukech, please, can you tell me what the pasuk that you're learning?" Amar Lei, he says, "A Shmuel Meis." It's a pasuk in Shmuel, actually. Shmuel died. Amar, he says, "Okay, that's a sign that he died." Shmamen and Achnafshi, apparently passed away. The Shmuel, but Lei, the Gemara says, actually, it wasn't so. Lo yishachem Shmuel. Shmuel was alive and well. Elok yehechad lo yitrach. Hashem didn't want him to go through the trouble of this long journey, and that's why he sent him this message. Lo yitrach Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon shouldn't have to trouble himself on this long trip. Tanya, we have a raisa on this topic. Rabbi Shimon Blazer Aimer. Another couple of omens, of signs, which are considered acceptable, not nichush, no issues of Avodah Zarah. Bayis tinek v'isha. Rashi explains, so the first business deal a person does after he builds a new home, if it works out, then he knows it's going to go well. Otherwise, pull back and try something else. Likewise, the first transaction after he had a child, tinek v'isha, the first one after marriage, aval b'shein nachash, even though they're not really nachash, Rashi says, she'asol nachash, v'lis mechal nachash, so you can't establish this as an absolute, sign, as divination, you're not allowed to. But the Eish Simon, you can use it as an indicator, as an omen, and, if it's not going, try another, another business. Amar Rabbi Elazar, v'udis chazek losa zimri. It's only a concern if it happened three times. Right, so if it happens three times in a row, positively, it's on a good track. Otherwise, to keep away. So it's only concerned by three times. Tachsib, where do we find that an established chazaka in this regard happens with three times? Tachsib, Yosef ein nenu v'shimene nenu besbinam tikachu. So when Yehuda was trying to convince Yaakov Avinu to send along Binyamin to Mitzrayim, he says, look, it's already strike two. Yosef was taken, Shimon is gone. I'm not going to leave Binyamin. If something goes wrong, I'm really going to be down three times, and it's going to open the door to anything. Basically, he was concerned about establishing a three-time chazaka. Boyimene Rav Huna Mirav. So Rav Huna asked Rav, you hold that basar shenis alam and ayin is also. But charuz and ma, what if it's pieces of meat strung up? Is that enough of a sign, identifying mark, to preclude any concern of swapping, of switching with non-kosher meat? Amalei says, of course, al ti shayte b'charuzin. This is a foolish. Don't be foolish with respect to asking about charuzin. Of course, I raise a simon. Of course, it's a good sign. It was not swapped. It's the original meat. Ikadam. There's another version of this discussion. It wasn't a question and answer. It was just a statement. Am Rav Huna, Am Rav, b'charuzin, I raise a simon. Of course, if it was strung up, it's a good simon. It's the original kosher meat. Rav Nachman Minarado, what happened to him? Ikla, he encountered Lagabi Rav Kahan. He came to visit Rav Kahan in the town of Pumnahara. When was it? Erev Yom Kippur, when they were celebrating in honor of the holy day. B'maliyim the Kippur, and they had a lot of meat then, right? Like we had the other day, right? The Erev Yom Kippur was a time of Suda. And suddenly, food from Shemaim. Oh, so Ervi, these ravens come flying over, dropping pieces of meat. Shadu, they toss down Kavde, V'kol Yasa, livers and kidneys. And the question was whether it's kosher or not. Amalei, so he says to him, ask his to hate. Why? He says, Shkol v'achol. He says, go eat it. It's fine. How do you know where it came from? Right? So Rav Kahana told his guest, ask his to hate. Because today, nowadays, Erev Yom Kippur, it's more likely that they're kosher meat because a lot of kosher meat being consumed today, Erev Yom Kippur, so you can rest assured that it's kosher. Rav Chiya bar Abban, what happened to him? Isbadle, he lost a karkashta. Karkashta, this is the last section of the intestine of the animal, so he lost, he dropped the beidan amongst the barrels, he lost it. It was out of sight for a while, and then he recovered it. He found it. No, Asal came to Rav Huna. Came to Rav Huna. Amalei asked him, "Islach siman begavai? Do you have any siman, an identifying mark?" Amalei says, "Lo, no, I have no." What about familiarity, visual familiarity? Do you recognize it? Amalei, "Lo, islach tviyus ena begavai? Do you have tviyus ena? Do you visually recognize it?" He says, "Yep. This looks like my piece of meat." Amalei in. He says, "Okay, that's enough. Imkainzel shkol, take it and eat it." Another story of Chanina Chuzo. It's Valle, he lost Gaba, a whole, cut of meat, the Bisra, Asal Kameder of Nachman. He lost and he found it. He came to Rav Nachman, what should I do? Amalei, he says the same thing. Islach Simon Gabe, do you have any identifying mark? Amalei says, unfortunately, no. Islach Tvius Eina Gabe, do you recognize it? Amalei says, yeah. MK, he says, okay, then it's kosher, you can eat it. Zilshka. Another story, Rav Nassim bar Abaye, Itzba lekibura de tchelta. He lost a roll of tchelas wool, which is meant for tzitzis, and very expensive, and had to be done properly with shema. And he found another roll of blue wool. Nu, asal kamei de Rav Chizda. He comes to the Rav to ask him. Amalei, he says, Islach Saman, do you have any marks on it? He says, Amalei, he says, no. Islach Tviya Saman, do you recognize it? Amalei, he says, yeah. Kein Zoshka, okay. Rest assured, it's the original wool. Can use it for your tzitzis. Amar Rava. So Rava commented as follows. Reisha Avamina, you know, back in the days, I would think that Siman Adif Mitviya Saino. That an actual, you know, identifying mark on an item stands higher, is more reliable than just visual recognition. Why? The Madrinan Avedes Rabbi Simana. We all know, you know, Rabbi Metzia, right? The Elo Metzias, he lost an item. How do you get it back? By identifying it. Look, it had a, you know, a mark, right? We turn to the next page. V'loi Madrinan Mitzvah Seina. Typically, we don't just rely on visual recognition. The guy says, okay, yeah, I recognize it as mine. That's not enough. So doesn't that say something about Simon being more reliable than just Tvius Eina? That was way back, but now that I heard about all these stories where the Chachamim relied on Tvius Eina, even though it's not, you know, an absolute mark, it's just, you know, general recognition, which wouldn't be enough by a Simon. By a Simon, you know, you have a little scratch. That's not enough. It has to be an absolute Simon. But when it comes to Tvius Eina, we rely on just general recognition. Apparently, Tvius Eina is really more reliable than Simon. Hashta de Sham Atin Ulan Shmaitz, after that whole of all these stories, these halachas, where the Chachamim allowed consumption of meat and all that through Tvius Ayin, Amina, now I've come to this clarity at Tvius Eina, this concept of Tvius Eina Adifa is really more reliable in a way. Now Rashi asks the obvious question, so what about by Aveda? We're sort of contradicting ourselves. Here we're saying that it's better, but then we say it's worse. So he says, by Aveda, we don't rely on Tvius Eina because people attempt it. Rashi brings the Mishnah, Maseches Makos, Gezel, Arayos, immorality, and matters of money. Nafshei shel adam is avalem. Macham dosan, a person has a special pull, a desire, is tempted when it comes to these matters. So you can't just return an item to a person who's claiming to be an owner based on visual recognition. He has to show something absolute. So that's an exception. But when it comes to our issues of meat and all that, person's vouch, he says, look, this is the original piece of meat, I can see it. That's okay. In fact, we have many other rayas, because otherwise, if you don't rely on recognition, a blind man, how is he allowed to interact with his wife? Maybe it's not really his wife. But in the same island, ordinary people, at night when it's dark, how are they allowed to interact with their wives? Ela b'tvius eina d'kala. That's because they recognize the voice. Voice recognition. Voice recognition technology. So you see, Yochanan here as well, when it comes to other matters of, you know, meat, b'tvius eina, recognition is enough. Amar Rav Yitzchak Breid Rav Mesharshia. I'll even prove it to you from a different halacha. I'll prove to you that visual recognition carries even greater weight than a specific identifying mark. Teda, look. Dilu asu betre. Imagine two people walk into the bezdin to testify. V'amri, they claim, Polanya, such and such person, who we don't really personally know, we don't personally recognize him, but we can give you some identifying marks on that person. Ha'isimane, he has this simon, v'ha'isimane, he has this identifying mark. Kotal nafsha, he killed a person. We can't kill him based on that. Well, he had a white shirt and red hair. That doesn't mean much. It could be many people with the same features. However, they can walk in and say definitively, we know it was Joe. Look, we know him. We recognize him. Ilu Amri, but if they claim Islan Tvius Einim Agavi, we have the ability to visually recognize him, visually identify him. Katlina, we kill him. That's more absolute, more conclusive than just an identifying mark, which is considered more, you know, generic and external. Rav Ashi, another Rai says, Rav Ashi Teda, I'll prove to you from the following halach, from the following, you know, phenomenon. The ilu, amal inish l'shluchay. Okay, so picture this. A person tells his messenger, could you call me such and such person that's wearing a white shirt and, you know, a tall guy? Kari l'planya, summon me such and such person, whom you don't really know, the high simon, I'll give you some signs. He has this simon, right? High simon, he has the other simon, suffek yodale, suffek yodale. So the person goes out to look. It's possible that he'll find them, possible he won't. Won't necessarily know who he's talking about. Suffek yodale, maybe he will know him, maybe not. Ve'ilu islay tviyus enim agavi, but if the messenger personally has visual familiarity with the subject, as soon as he sees him, as soon as he sees, oh, that's Jack, come. You're being called to the boss. That's the power of Tvius Ein, which gives a person clarity in a more conclusive way. So it pertains to Isser Beheter, it pertains to Chayshim Mishpat, to Yeredeya, and to common matters as well. Okay, we begin from... We begin our summary from the story with the Tabach, who had some sort of row with his friend there, and he taunted him about the non-kosher meat that he had consumed. It turned out that we weren't really concerned, overly concerned about this alleged claim, because fine, he did it to trip up his friend, but it doesn't mean that we have this issue throughout town, and Or, according to the second version, we don't even believe him. He was just trying to be mitzayer him, trying to, give him a hard time, harass him, and make him feel bad. In any case, Rav teaches us a halacha that basar shenis alam min ayin is aser. If we're concerned that perhaps it was swapped by some sort of creature, a bird, etc., but if we have some sort of simon on it, that'll be enough, as we have in these stories at the end of the daf there, where they lost and found their own items, and it was sufficient to provide, heksher on the meat to be consumed. We had a whole sugi about nachash. Typically, one avoids the issue of nachash, but if he's only using it as some sort of omen, that would be acceptable, as we find regarding Rav, regarding Shmuel, regarding Rabbi Yechanan, who used the psukim. Coming up soon is a Purim. We had the Gemara Megillah speaks about them using psukim, right? It's a sufar, as an omen, as a sign of the upcoming miracle. Should all be zeicha to see nisim and aflois. Mashiach tzidkenu, meher mi'minu, amen. All the best, natzlacha, Rav.